Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gabaza, and for today, we're getting into an interesting world that is the world of skills. We often hear a lot of people trying their best to match the skills that the market requires with the skills that are being produced in our various institutions around the country. But sometimes there's a little bit of a mismatch, and from an economics point of view, we talk about an oversupply in the market, which tends to then result in what we call unemployment, because there are just too many people with particular skills, or too many people looking for particular jobs and roles than the market is able to then absorb or take on. And that's an interesting space for a person like me, because I cover technology, media, and telecoms, and that's one of those areas that tends to come with a lot of technical qualifications and certificates, certs as some people call them, that people go and gather so that they can put themselves in the best position to be attractive, to such a squeezed job market. So for today, we are joined by the team from Red Academy just to understand what they are doing in this space. Apart from just skilling, they have gone about also working to place, people that are, part of their courses. And we're just going to try and get an understanding of what's going on in the space, success, and also maybe where some of the holes and challenges perhaps lie in the market. Helping us to make sense of it all, we are joined by Jessica Hawkey. She is the managing director and founder of Red Academy, and we're just going to get an understanding of what's going on. Jessica, greetings to you today.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's an honor to be here.
Good place for us to start. What is the value of a good certificate in 2025 in IT?
It depends what certificate that is. I think to start there, I mean, traditionally, we've looked at, degrees as being the indicator of tickets to the game when it comes to skills in this country and to getting into roles. But I think more and more so, especially in a technology space, it's around your skill set. It's around that practical experience that you have, your ability to match that skill set to what employers need. So I think it's moving away from certificates, if I can call it that, or degrees, and more towards skills and experience that's truly valued in the market.
So from a Red Academy point of view, maybe the story behind that, what makes you decide that, okay, fine, I want to get involved, on the skills development side? That's one. And two, what's the differentiator? How have you guys gone about setting yourselves apart in the market? Because, places of learning are a dime a dozen in South Africa. So, how have you guys gone about, some of your thinking, your approach, and your go-to-market around that?
Absolutely. I think when we looked at the skills mismatch that exists in the country, a recent survey has indicated that 65% of South African organizations struggle to hire ICT skills because of the skills mismatch that exists. And this all takes place when we are in a country with the highest unemployment rate globally. I think that made it evident that something needs to be done differently to get youth into careers and to get them into careers quickly. And I think that's where Red Academy was founded from. How do we take South African matriculant youth who have the attitude and the aptitude to really succeed in careers and technology? How do we bring them into this shortage and in the market? How do we sort of substitute both what the economy needs, what corporates need, but ultimately what youth need in terms of careers? And that's where Red Academy was founded from, to bring youth into careers quickly. Red Academy does it in a different way. Yes, we have pioneered a new way for matriculant youth to enter careers. And this is through our program. It is skills integration as a service. And when I say skills, it's not just technical skills. It's workplace skills coming into the office environment, those soft skills. technical skills in theory is, yes, it's tickets to the game. But I think to be successful and to really contribute to business, you need more than just technical skills. You need that workplace readiness, but you also need that experience. So we spend 6 months of our program working on live client projects. This really gets youth into the workplace, into grips with what it is that they're doing, delivering. And by the time they go for interviews at clients' businesses at the end, they can speak from a place of experience. They can speak having already delivered into the business. That integration side of skills integration as a service is our conducting the program in the live office environment to really bring youth into the workplace. In South Africa, 6.7 million children live in households where there is no employed person in that household. And it's incredibly important to bring them into the workplace, to get that exposure, get that experience, get their hands dirty, if I can call it that, in the working environment. And then to offer it as a service to our clients. Red Academy oversees the end-to-end of the process for our clients, from the recruitment all the way through that theoretical phase, that 6 months live project delivery, and then integration into the business at the end.
And how long is... If I am a young person, I've just come out of matric and I become part of Red Academy, how long do I go from, starting off to having completed, my time at Red Academy?
Our program is a one-year program. It's full-time, in-office, fast-paced, but it has proven extremely successful to date, with 96% of our graduates going into employment the day after completing the program. And I think that is what this country needs. It needs jobs being created. It needs industry growing, business growing, and youth entering careers.
I'm very keen to get your thoughts on something. We have spoken to a number of people on this particular platform, particularly in the space that you're in. We've spoken to, the likes of Code Academy and others, people that are looking to, let's say, skill. I believe one organization we spoke to, they want to equip a million women with ICT skills. We've also seen other people that have a mandate just around just youth as a whole, regardless of gender. Others have just beyond a South Africa mandate, they're looking at how do you develop skills across the continent, all of this stuff. And for me, it's very interesting that you have a 96% absorption rate, because to where we began the conversation today, it does seem as if in certain pockets of the market that there is an oversupply. But to your point, when you talk to people looking for ICT skills, they keep talking about how there aren't enough of these people, there aren't enough skills. And you're like, okay, guys, what are we actually saying right now, right? Is there an oversupply of people in the labor market or not? Like, please, can someone make it make sense for us? Because I think the dominant narrative is that, especially if you look at some of the figures around youth unemployment, discouraged workers, all of this stuff, you then have numbers way above 40%, way above the 32-33% official rates that we hear. But when I'm listening to Jessica, she's telling me, no, actually, your companies are taking on these people as long as they have these set of skills. So, yeah, it's a very interesting, what you call this, it's a very interesting conundrum. And there's a parallel I'm also drawing in my head. We spoke to the team from ProfMed recently, right? They're a medical aid. And one of the things that they were highlighting is that South Africa has a need of 100,000 doctors, more than what we currently have. However, so many graduating doctors find it hard to find a job. And you're like, but guys, you're a doctor. That is the one that's meant to guarantee your place in the market. So it almost feels like from different corners of the jobs market, there are all of these different conflicting messages that are out there.
Yeah. I think maybe to start with what you've said about there being a number of players in the market, I think it is excellent. This country truly needs more players in the market, upskilling youth, skilling them for work readiness, skilling them for roles that they can enter. When we look to South Africa and Africa's population boom that's expected over the coming years, there is a real need to get youth into careers, skilled careers, and technology being one of them. Just to put some numbers to the size of the vacancies at the moment, it has been reported that there are 48,000 vacancies suited to the youth in ICT. So maybe it's not as many doctors, but there certainly is a number of roles in technology that still need to be filled. The key is to fill them with the skill sets that match what those companies are looking for. And I think that is a bridge that we need to sort of ensure that we're crossing as an industry, training these youth to make sure that they are highly employable at the end. And that's just to bridge the local gap of what is said to also be about 10 billion lost to the economy through export revenue. South African companies are having to go internationally to look for skills at the moment in the ICT sector. And this is something that we need to bring back onshore to grow our economy, to grow the local industry. And I think that's what means that there is room for many players to operate in the skills space. But let's make sure that it translates into jobs at the end, that it's not just training for training's sake, but that we're training for careers in the sector.
Can you give us an idea of how many people have been through your program, and when did I'm realizing now that we didn't establish when exactly Red Academy was started?
Yeah, we started in June of 2022 with our first cohort. We've had five cohorts since then. Our fifth and sixth are in progress at the moment. We've had 45 graduates, of which 43 have gone into employment at the end.
All right. And from an industry point of view, who's absorbing these people?
From our side, our primary client is the Lewis Group, the furniture retailer. They really believe in the youth, in careers, in the future that technology provides. We've also had candidates go into smaller SMEs and other businesses like Red Panda Software, the retail software provider for the Lewis Group.
Okay, cool. So Lewis Group, you know, being a firm absorber, of what's going on there. For yourselves as Red Academy, what's the goal for the future? Do you maintain your current trajectory? Do you have plans to perhaps, scale and be, I guess increasing the size of the cohorts and that type of thing? Or do you think going niche, intimate, specialized is the way forward?
From our side, Red Academy has always been built with scale in mind. To take the skills integration as a service model and operate it in a number of businesses across the country. But we do always start with demand. We start with those corporate partnerships to understand their business, because our full program is customized to what clients need. So we sit down for that initial discovery phase of about 2 hours worth of the client, just to understand what is your tech stack, what is your operational processes. And then our lecturers take that away, design the content to be customized to those client needs. So that we're developing candidates who are role ready. They train from the outset. For example, with the Lewis Group, they will operate in a retail environment from the beginning. Our candidates get to grips with that mindset, learning their tech stack, learning their operational processes, understanding the retail environment, and then getting that 6 months practical experience on it. This really integrates the youth into that environment. It's not retail specific that Red Academy is focused on. It is preparing candidates for that career that they will be entering and then fast-tracking them into it in that one-year process.
All right. I'm very interested in the work experience piece. It's something that you've emphasized through today's discussion. to, and I'm going to ask, it's perhaps a little bit of a cheeky question, but I think it's worth asking, to say, in the current market, especially when it comes to IT and ICT, you know, skills and, you know, departments that are willing to take that on, et cetera, what's more important right now to employers? Is it the paper or is it the experience that a person is coming with? The reason I ask that question is because I am an information systems graduate, right? So I've sort of kept my, because of my coverage, the job that I have, I keep a very keen eye on, you know, people like myself, people that have, people that I was in class with, how their careers have progressed, and sort of understanding what's happening, you know, where they are. And one of the general feelings, especially from the more technical side, is that a lot of companies are like, listen, we're more concerned about what you can do as opposed to what a piece of paper says you can do. So you then end up having a lot of people that are self-taught, that are, you know, all of this stuff that, you know, are finding opportunities, you know, in the market. And if I tap into the stereotype, you know, of founders, especially in Silicon Valley, you know, the dropouts and, you know, all of that stuff. So right now in the market, what's the reality on that question?
I think there's two parts to that question. I mean, I think if you're speaking to the doctors and the prof med that you mentioned earlier, I would think that degrees are still very important in that area. Then leveraging the experience and the skill set after that, you know, having that foundation. But when we flip over to the technology side and the rate at which technology is changing, skills become far, far more invaluable to an employer. Yes, degrees can still be a ticket to the game. But when we look at the market and look at the salary surveys, it is one of the few industries where whether you degreed or whether you self-taught or whether you've gone to an academy like this, that you get paid the same. The salaries at the intermediate and senior level have no differentiation between degreed and non-degreed skill sets. So I think that that shows the value of that continuous learning, that continuous value of your skills that you have in the marketplace. Technology is changing at such a rapid rate. I think it's important that anyone in the field keeps up to date with those changes. But it is, yeah, I think that degrees have a place, but ultimately skill sets look to be what clients and corporates are valuing when you look to the salary statistics.
And how do you see that perhaps influencing curriculum development over time? Because I think that's something else that, you know, we've heard from certain corners. We had someone from Boston City Campus on this platform last year, and he was talking about just AI, for example, from a teaching point of view, as opposed to even just the learning piece. And he was bemoaning the fact that the truth is a lot of academics are struggling to keep up with how quickly, you know, some of these curriculums need to develop the technology, all of that stuff. How do you see all of that developing over time, to your point about how quickly technology has to change?
I think that's the true benefit of us operating inside the workspace, being inside the live environment, inside that business world, is that we are able to adapt as clients' needs adapt. So as technology changes, so too does our curriculum in real time. So we have that ongoing conversation with our clients, understanding what changes they bring into the business, what new tech stacks they need, and we're able to respond to that. Likewise, with the curriculums that we offer and the courses that we offer, we listen to the market demand. We started with focusing on purely software development. But then to your point, you know, the world is changing so fast that we've brought in things like test automation, data science, and then bringing in more areas in future in cybersecurity, AI developers, etc. So we adapt as the world and as the corporates and their needs adapt too. So there's this constant refinement of candidates going into the business to ensure that those skill sets match exactly what is needed.
And the soft side of things, do you think that's something that necessarily has to have classes around it, or do you think that's something that I guess students or people just pick up as they are in the workplace?
I think it is picked up in the workplace, but from the academy side, being in the workplace from the outset, that is something that we offer to the candidates. You know, they come in on a daily basis, greet reception, work in an office environment, have their lectures in a meeting room. And I think that that exposure to that side of things, having KPIs that they are driven by in terms of delivery, operating Teams meetings, emails, etc., it overcomes all of that work integration. I know that IT is something that's often done remote, but our programs are in person, in the office environment, to really give that basis and that essence of the working world. And then I'm sure candidates do go on and work remotely, you know, in time, but having that foundation, having that basis, seeing the office environment and appreciating the office culture and the way of working has proven truly valuable to both our candidates and to our clients.
All right. And one of the things that tends to happen in the world of ICT, and once again, recognizing this because I got the degree, but you realize that, of course, the world is changing and you have to certify yourself, you know, in different corners. And there's so many different, you know, professional qualifications that are out there and ways in which people, what you call this, can keep up. Any tips that you might have for the continuing education piece? Because today's discussion, we've primarily been talking about that first part of the funnel where a person is coming from varsity and is now, you know, looking for an entry point into the workplace. But beyond that, you almost have to get into a culture of, you know, constantly upskilling yourself, keeping up with the trends, knowing what's important and not important, and, you know, skilling yourself appropriately.
Absolutely. I think from our side, I mean, we're taking matriculants into the program, people who haven't necessarily studied IT before, and bringing them into the environment. But a big focus of our program and a big focus, I think, for, you know, beyond, is that mindset of continuous learning, that researching, that looking to understand. We find that people who excel in software development and IT, and I'm sure you're one of them, are natural problem solvers. They continuously look to understand and refine, you know, their knowledge. I think it would be driven largely by client needs, by personal interests, by exposure online. But there is a number of resources, you know, available out there, whether it's influencers, YouTube, online learning, in-office learning that you can have. I think that there's many avenues you can go into, depending on where your interests lie and where your career is taking you.
Yeah, very interesting just, you know, to hear what's happening there. And I think of obviously the overarching theme is that the experience, you know, is very key. And I'm pretty sure that you could transplant that specific learning to a number of other industries outside of ICT. And at least this is an avenue that's providing and closing that specific gap, because there's always been that whole thing of everyone wants someone who has experience, but, you know, not everyone wants to be the person to give the experience to begin with, you know. So if we're solving for that, then it's definitely a good thing. Jessica, before we let you go, I think it might be valuable maybe for people to get a sense of, you know, as the founder of Red Academy, what's been your own journey, you know, in this space, to get to this point?
From my side, I actually studied accounting. So like you, you know, we've taken different paths to land up where we are today. So I'm a chartered management accountant. But much like the industry faces now, I couldn't find a role in the field which I studied because I didn't have experience. So I entered the retail environment early on in my career and then later switched to financial services. I worked locally and then later abroad. But working abroad, I think I realized, you know, that my passion for South Africa and, you know, just South Africa being my home is something I'm absolutely passionate about. Why create roles overseas when I could be doing that, you know, back here? I came back to South Africa and I took an operations general manager position where I was then exposed to the skill shortages in the software space. Then, coupling that with the dire unemployment rate, became clear that something needed to be done and needed to be done differently. And then the opportunity to found Red Academy and to really pioneer a new way for South African youth to enter skilled careers and to do so quickly became evident. And it's been a journey educating the market on that this is really possible, that we can really link matriculant youth into skilled careers and to do so quickly. We have candidates that by 19 are working in highly skilled careers where they can grow in both rank and responsibility. And seeing candidates come into the program, grow and flourish and then enter employment, where they are often the first in their family to enter skilled careers in a corporate environment, is incredibly rewarding.
All right. That's actually quite an interesting story. And I'm just going to veer off the path for a moment and ask, I know we're talking specifically about ICT skills today, but as an accountant, right, what is it about accountants that makes them versatile in the economy? And I'm using the word versatile because for people like myself who sit and study businesses for a living, you see that there are a lot of accountants, especially, chartered and other, accounting related degrees, especially chartered accountants, that seem to do well leadership positions, running companies, running business units, and even just from a founding point of view, right? Keen to get your thoughts, your thoughts around that.
I wish I had an answer for you. It's quite an interesting thought that. But if I can speak from a personal perspective, I did very quickly realize that I'm not going to do bookkeeping for a living. There needs to be more. I want to offer more. I want to do more. I want to make more of an impact. And I think that's what drove me to branch out in my career and to take on those leadership roles, to then take on those like growing skill sets, being a part of a team, growing teams, and now ultimately changing the future for the youth that come through our program.
All right. And because one of the other reasons I asked that question is because when one looks at a number of different organizations, it's very interesting that many companies' IT departments have a direct channel of, in some organizations, it's a dotted line, but in a lot of organizations I've seen, it's direct, like, your IT department falls under your CFO, and other, maybe it's a spending thing. But I've also seen a number of accountants also moving into that almost CTO, CIO type of role. Maybe not necessarily with, that title, but it's just one of those interesting, observations that I've made.
I think it could be because IT and technology is so strategic in business now, and that's why it's got that direct line into finance. It is a strategic investment. It's a strategic element of the business, both to compete and to grow, and that could be the reason for that linkage. But it is an interesting connection to make.
All right. And on that interesting note, that's how we come to the end of today's discussion, just talking to, the founder and managing director of Red Academy about what they are doing in their particular institution. She was just giving us some insight into how they've been able to marry skills development and experience, because that tends to be one of the, one of the big, gaps that's there, to say, okay, fine, person has the theoretical knowledge, but do they have the practical knowledge around how to apply that knowledge in the workplace, in a business environment, and or other type of operation? She was just giving us some insight to say that it really helps where you marry the two together And they've designed a course where their learners actually sit and have their lectures in boardrooms. And, you know, a huge part of that up to six months is actually done in that work environment, in that corporate environment where people are actually working on live projects and actually are seeing how things happen in real life and in real time. And that's one of the things that's driven their ability to actually switch up and change their course curriculum on the fly, because to the point that we emphasized quite a bit, the world of technology is ever changing. And, you know, for a person to, whilst a person is sitting and getting a degree, so many things, you know, would have changed. If you were just looking at AI alone, a person who started a degree in 2022 and is graduating in 2025 would have had you know, ChatGPT on the one end of the them starting off, and then DeepSeek on the other side, you know, of that journey, and everything in the intervening period happening all in between, you know, that period. So it's definitely fast moving and fast changing. She was just giving us some insight to say that, you know, ICT is one of the rare areas where people, regardless of your academic background, you know, you can be self-taught, you can attend an academy, you can get a degree, but in the workplace, it's what you can actually do. And the data that's coming out, you know, around salaries, especially at that intermediate and senior level, are coming out to be, you know, practically the same. So it's a huge value on what people can actually do, you know, which I think is a very interesting and good way of doing things. So that's how we end off. We have been talking to Jessica Hawkey. She is the founder and managing director for Red Academy. Jessica, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.